You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
Hey everybody, you're listening to New Soundwave, week three, I think, of the new lease on life for New Soundwave, where this has become our great big video game extravaganza of the week. With me this week, XV, Amy, Rob Springer, and Brian Kilby. Hey everybody, hello. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Just a quick preview. This week, we're going to crunch some numbers and actually see how video game systems have been selling so far in 2010. Really interesting. We're going to look at Marvel vs. Capcom 3, possibly some more characters are debuting at Comic-Con. We're going to look at possibly some more fighters in Super Street Fighter 4. Yes, more fighters in addition to what's already in the game. And then some other quick tidbits. And then also we're going to dive into handheld gaming. And we're kind of going to look at what are our favorite systems and maybe the future of handheld gaming. So let's get to it. Like I said, some interesting numbers have come in for video game hardware sales this year. And so here they are. The DS, probably as comes as no surprise to anybody, and this is U.S. sales. DS has sold over 3 million units, just over 3 million units so far. That's actually down 25% from last year. But, you know, at some point it's got to kind of slow down. The Wii has sold 2.5 million units. The 360, almost 2 million. PlayStation 3, 1.6 million. The PSP, 600,000.
The PSP is good.
The PSP is struggling.
Is that across all different versions of the PSP?
Yes, I assume so. Yes. They just classify PSP as, you know, everything that is technically a PSP.
I mean, there's two PSP SKUs, and there's like, what, three DS SKUs right now? So,
yes. Yeah. And you know, the PSP is down 35% from last year, and PlayStation 3 actually has the biggest gain. 42%. It's up 42%. But you got to remember the PS3 had a big price cut this year.
Actually reasonable now.
Yeah.
And I mean, one, it's like, I think it's been reported it's actually profitable now for Sony. They actually make like $5 a system now. And yes, now it's not insanely overpriced. So people are actually, I think, getting around to getting a PS3.
I would consider it, if I didn't already have a Blu-ray player, for Blu-rays that I don't watch, I would consider it. Blu-ray, I think, will be a dead format in 2 years.
Yeah.
Replaced by...
Downloads.
Oh.
By nothing.
Yeah, I hope not either, but yeah, physical media is going the way of the VCR tape.
I mean, my Walmart, yeah, DVDs and downloads. I mean, my Walmart has like 20 facings of Blu-ray, like that's it. There's like nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have probably more VHS tapes in the building than they have Blu-ray discs. So
I think the one store that's really like gone in like full force into Blu-ray is Best Buy. I'm not saying it's gonna work. They're probably gonna end up regretting it, but they have a huge like Blu-ray display these days.
Yeah, that's true. But the interesting thing I noted this weekend, my Best Buy had a pretty good display of vinyl.
Interesting.
It makes me really want to break out my turntable. Thought that was awesome.
You know, Blu-ray's great and all, but when you do the math in it, when you upgraded from a VCR to a DVD player, you just needed a DVD player and maybe some sort of connector box to make it work on your TV. And you instantly saw the difference. You're like, wow, that's great. You get a Blu-ray player. Now go hook that up to that same TV you hooked your DVD up to. It's not going to look that great.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah, you got to go get yourself a nice just spend another $2,000 on a TV. Oh, and you better make sure those cords are correct.
You can buy an HD TV for $300, and Blu-ray looks great on an HD TV. But you know what? Upscaled DVD looks pretty darn good too.
Yeah,
and you can get the cables for like $2 each. You don't have to get the $60 3-foot cable.
Yeah, I bought a 12-foot HDMI cable this weekend for $7. It's pretty awesome.
Well, let's also put into the math that not every single movie you watch is Independence Day. You know, it's Blu-ray. It's like, let me watch true. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
I don't know what, like, at your house, Rob, but...
Well, it's like, let's watch... Well, what I feel like watching today. How about Fried Green Tomatoes? Do I really, really need so clear a resolution that looks like it's real life with Jessica Tandy and Kathy Bates? Really? No one cares. It's got to be like Jurassic Park or something for someone to care. Am I right?
That's a good point. That's a good point. And again, I think it's a generational thing, but I'm going to be sad to see like physical media go for the most part.
I like owning what I paid for.
Yeah, I know. I like owning it. I like a case with games. I like instructions. That's just not going to be the case anymore. It's kind of sad.
I just tend to lose that crap. So
really, you even collect video games, sir?
Yeah, and most of my NES manuals are in the bottom of a chest of drawers somewhere. I have no idea where.
You're not an organized collector.
No, I'm not.
I can understand the appeal of the downloadable media if you've got, like, you know, space concerns. If clutter is a problem, that's one thing. But there's people, and I'm one of them, who really want to have a physical copy of something. Just to have the physical copy of something.
I think downloadable media will take a huge dip in sales the minute it stops being like $2 to $5 for a game. I mean, people are willing to spend $49.95 on a game at Walmart. You know, they have something to show for it, but $50 for a download and, oh, great, my hard drive's wiped. F. I buy a new one. Great. I buy a new Wii. Well, guess what? I can't use those games on this Wii now.
You know, people complain about DRM, but you know what? DRM typically means that you can get it back if you lose it.
Yeah, but can you use it on the same... it has to be the same machine, am I right? Or am I wrong on that one? Which, that'd be great if I'm wrong.
I mean, if it's like...
That depends more on the company, as far as I know.
It's not technology. It's just what policy is, yeah.
You know, I haven't bought a CD. And last CD I bought was Gorgeous Frankenstein in 2008, and that was the first CD I bought in years. But I miss having something to hold in my hand, even music, because like a lot of bands, I'll buy a CD, and it comes with stickers or posters and stuff like that in the CD. MP3, great.
I don't put a sticker in MP3.
I still buy CDs occasionally if it's something that... I want to give to someone because I don't really want to bother with getting an MP3 and putting it on their MP3 player because I know I'll probably have to. But I buy lots of MP3s from Amazon, and doesn't bother me. I have it, and I have it backed up in the cloud somewhere, and it's good. I mean, I can listen to it anywhere. I don't see why you have to have something. My house has too much crap as it is. I need to get rid of so much stuff. But
I'll take some of it.
I've got 6 terabytes of hard drive space I can put that stuff on.
Oh, man. You've got memory to spare.
That's on one computer. If you count all five.
You've also got 22 different computers in your house.
I think 11 maybe.
Yeah, oh, that's
don't,
so
don't
much
be
better.
Crazy. Yeah, XV, you're out of line. You're out of line with 20. Hey, moving on to some fighting game news. Capcom is bringing Marvel vs. Capcom 3 to Comic-Con, and some news has broken over 4 additional characters for the upcoming game. Chun-Li, Dr. Doom, Super Skrull. And
that's so awesome.
That is awesome. And some chick from Devil May Cry that... people only know is, hey, it's that chick from Devil May Cry. Also, some more fighting news. And you're going to have to follow me on this one because it makes really no sense. It looks like there's going to be another Capcom versus game, but there's going to be 2. It's going to be Capcom versus Namco. That's one game. And another game called Namco versus Capcom.
It's been done before. It's exactly what happened with Capcom versus SNK. Capcom released Capcom versus SNK. an SNK released, SNK versus Capcom. I've got both. Both are great.
Two separate games with the same idea.
Same idea, different execution. One is a very kind of stodgy SNK style fighter, if you can guess which one. And the other is pretty Capcom fun. One? Yeah. And the other is actually really fun. But that's how they did it before. It's how they do comic book crossovers. They don't want to, you know, the people who actually own the IP want to get their take on whatever it is. I'll buy both if they actually happen.
You know, I'd love Capcom to do more of their fighter games, if not versus fighter games, with the Capcom versus Tatsunoko engine, being that it's stripped down and just Smash Brothers level fun with a Capcom, you know, 2 out of 3 system.
I take it you've bought the game, you like it?
Didn't buy it, but I let the thing go to $19 in another week, and I will.
I'll buy it at $19.
It's you know, okay, we all, you know, we love playing Street Fighter 2 and, you know, getting down to it. But after a while, it became all about technique and art and all that. You know what? Let me push A 1,000 times to shake this thing. Dude, I just whooped his ass.
That's pretty much what I want out of a fighting game, too.
Yeah, it's just fun. Fun.
I've spent probably, if not more, if not 1,000 hours on Soul Calibur and or Tekken, then together, definitely, I've spent well over 1,000 hours playing those games. It's all about technique. I really hate that I missed the fighting game discussion last week, because I absolutely love Soul Calibur and Tekken. I love the Namco fighters. They're great.
So are you gonna? So if you had to guess, are you gonna probably like enjoy Namco versus Capcom a little bit more, because it's gonna be on that engine?
The thing is, I'll absolutely love that. But there's just something so classic about the Street Fighter gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like comparing Avatar to Citizen Kane. You know, that's probably not a fair comparison, but it's like comparing Spider-Man 2 to Superman. I mean, they're both absolutely great, but they're both kind of great in different ways.
That's what about comparing Spider-Man 3 to Superman Returns?
Not Spider-Man.
Boy,
3
I don't know where to begin on that.
The Superman 4.
But
come on, Nuclear Man.
But to get back to the discussion about Marvel versus Capcom 3, this is something I never expected. The internet buzz on Marvel versus Capcom 2 has just been so huge for the last 10 years. I liked X-Men versus Street Fighter way more. Capcom versus Street Fighter. Let's see here. Marvel Universe versus Street Fighter. The one that was on.
Think. Oh, is it the superheroes? Marvel superheroes. Gosh, they
Marvel,
all run
it was
together.
It was Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter, which was not released in the U.S. Unless it was released on the PlayStation, it might have been. But I've got it on the Saturn, and I prefer both of those games to both Marvel versus Capcom games. To me, the Marvel versus Capcom games just go a little too far into that sort of crazy, hyper-jumpy, crazy, too-much-stuff-on-screen sort of gameplay. And I really don't like the fact that they dumbed down the controls for Marvel versus Capcom 2, since it was based on the Dreamcast hardware architecture, which is failing me. I can't remember what it was called at this point, but because it had the 2 button, because they knew they were going to release it on the home, but they didn't want to use the triggers. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be able to use it with the pad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a fan of the early stuff. I didn't really care that much. They re-released it, and I don't really care to see it so much from a gameplay perspective, because I don't really care for that, but it is fun because it doesn't have the depth that I really want. But
I think that's the deal.
If I want to sit down for 5 minutes, shallow. Yeah, if I want to play something for 5 minutes, sure, I'll throw it in, but I can't just sit down and play it for hours and hours and hours like I would, you know, like I did Soul Calibur and Tekken.
Right. Right. And you know, ultimately we'll see. We'll see if they take, you know, Marvel versus Capcom 3 even further into this kind of popcorn, you know, crazy lowest common denominator kind of button masher. That's fun, but you know, it's completely like just popcorn.
There's more to it than that. I mean, it's not like, you know, oh, I can press the button more than you, so obviously I'm going to win. But
no
strategy.
It's not like whack-a-mole. There is still some strategy, but I think it'll be interesting to see if they stay committed to that or if they kind of drift towards more of a, you know, even more of a frenetic feel. It'll be interesting. We'll see. And one last Capcom note. Super Street Fighter 4 may get even more characters. Now, we don't know which new fighters will be entering the fray, but apparently a teaser poster for the arcade version, which is awesome just for existing. It's awesome that they're going to do an arcade version. A poster teasing that arcade version apparently also teases possibly some more characters. So we'll see who else they can kind of cram in there.
There are a lot of characters that like
like
Street Fighter 3 that I would like to see.
It's a good point. You know, Street Fighter 3 never gets like its due. It never seems like it gets its due. It's a terrific series. It ended up with Third Strike, terrific stuff.
Yeah, you're like the Street Fighter expert of the group. I completely forget that.
I love it after watching Evo, I guess a couple weeks ago. I do admit that I've got like the competitive bug again, and I just need to get a good stick. And
you have a 360?
I have a PS3, but I could get a 360. I, at this point right now, right now the fire still burns, so to speak. And so if I get into competitive fighting and I like it as much as I think I'm going to like it, getting back into it, I'll definitely get a 360 just to hunt good fights and really get into it.
I'll totally play you. I've got awesome. My X-Arcade stick and it's a blast. So
awesome. All right. That may be motivation enough. Anyway. Okay, two quick notes before we get to our discussion of the week. Hey, Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy are going to be the Joker and the Batman again.
Awesome.
In the DC Universe Online. By the way, you can sign up for the beta version to test that out at DCUniverseOnline.com.
No thanks.
We'll put those we'll put it in the show notes in case you think differently from Brian. And also a little tidbit for the PS3 people out there. It looks like a discless version of Netflix is going to come out around October in the fall. So you can you won't have to, you know, put in your Netflix disc every time you want to partake of Netflix streaming. That'll be a welcome change. Okay, so that brings us to our topic for discussion. And I thought this week that the group could kind of dive into handheld gaming. You know, I think this is a question I'll pose to the group. I feel pretty sure that no matter what happens, say with smartphones and communication devices, that there will always be a place for a dedicated handheld gaming system in some form. I think there's always somebody out there who really digs having a handheld gaming system, not necessarily like a phone that can also play games. So does everybody feel that way? I mean, I think we'll always have a place for that, right?
Oh yeah. It just presents itself to reason.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. How fun is pushing one?
Yeah. Well, coming from the standpoint of a parent, like how many times, you know, I don't know, you know, I will not be getting my kids a cell phone anytime soon. And so what would I rather them play, a telephone or an actual game that, you know, it's all contained and I don't have to worry about, you know, them getting on the internet and calling their friends or texting their friends or something like that. You know, hey, there you go. That's what you have on a handheld game.
Yeah, I right now have a real itch to play Mattel football. I just want to play that football game so bad right now.
It's your turn.
Yeah.
Your turn.
And you know what? I think more interestingly too, now I think everybody like we just said, I think everybody feels comfortable about the future. There's always going to be, you know, a handheld gaming system out there. Probably
as long as they're kids.
Yeah.
As long as there are kids, there will always be a handheld game.
As long as there's a Nintendo, there will be a handheld system available.
Absolutely. As long as there's little hands and a Nintendo, there will always be handheld gaming. But that begs the question, as veteran gamers, what was your favorite handheld system?
Game Boy SP, Advance SP. Mm. Yeah, it's my favorite. It's maybe my favorite system ever.
That's a good flavor.
Yeah.
Flavor?
I wonder how come we haven't had like a lot of clamshell designs, because that one was so great.
It lent itself to the concept.
I mean, I did not feel bad putting that in my pocket at any time.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but you know, like my PSP, I'm not putting that in my pocket, not unless it's in a case. My DS, I mean, I can put it in my pocket, but it's a little big. But the SP was just fantastic.
And the SP is the perfect size, and the clamshell design makes it completely portable. There's no downside to it at all.
And the fact that it played Game Boy games. So for the Game Boy games that I wanted to play, I could play them, and it was perfect. It's the best system ever. Ever.
Yeah, you make a pretty good case for that.
Hey, Rob, have you gotten your XL yet, or are you still planning on it?
The XL will come, even if I buy it after I buy a 3DS. It's just a matter of there's more important financial decisions to be made right now. But
I gotta admit, I for the first time at Walmart this week, I took a really good look at the XL, and that thing is way bigger than I expected.
It's huge. Yeah.
It is huge. I can't believe it. It's almost like a netbook. It almost feels like a netbook.
It is almost netbook level. Yes, it's that big.
Here's the thing. Take that XL. Now, of course, the DS is already perfect size for portability. But how about you? You got your legs kicked up on your couch, listening to the Daily Show, and you're plopping away on Pokemon or something. That thing's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That brings up a good question. True. Like, what do you guys want in a handheld? Because honestly, the 3DS. It's a cool concept. I get it. I don't know if like I would ever particularly like ask for 3D in a handheld. It's cool. It's not something I would particularly want. For me, I wouldn't mind like seeing the clamshell design explored again, just because it worked so well.
There's only one thing that I want from a handheld console, and it's pretty simple. It's games. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a game selection, I got a Nintendo DS day one, and I had two games for it. I had Super Mario 64 and the demo for the Metroid game. That's it.
Same here.
And I had it for like a year and a half, and nothing worthwhile came out. So I sold it, and I regretted it after like Mario Kart and everything else came out. So I finally bought a new one. But if it doesn't have a good selection of games, I mean, it can be the best piece of hardware ever.
What I really want in a video game system that hasn't been explored before is, I think I want to give me a pony.
Yes.
Well, luckily for you, there's now a DLC called the Ponyware, and you can download it and share it with your friends, like LAN, you know, Wi-Fi, get your friends' codes, and you ride ponies.
Cool.
Interesting.
But no, I mean, there's not a lot that the handheld systems have not done so far that they still could while remaining just a handheld game system.
Well, let's put things into perspective. PSP can play movies and music, and you can read comics, and you can use Skype on it, but you can't play games on it because there's none. DS.
No, you can download. Right. You can download perfectly decent PS1 games for it.
Yes, but PSP games itself, you've got the same selection you had 3 years ago. Yay.
It's all crap.
Yeah. PSP. And then you go get your DS and the new DSi. We're going to shoot, you know, the DS Lite and DS Tank can play DS games. Perfect. DSi, you can play DSi only games, which there's a handful. You can take pictures, you can play DS games, you can listen to music. At this point, I'm pretty expecting video because it's on its way. They got the books coming out. You can buy books for it. What are you going to do? You can play games.
The Game Boy Advance had video, and it didn't sell.
Yeah, you know why? Because you're going to play games.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to listen to music. Okay, let me look at my PSP or DS. Let me look at my iPod or my RCA Lyra or whatever.
Okay, you know, now that you mentioned it.
Throw this in my hoodie pocket.
Now that you mentioned it, what I would like to see for handhelds is something that was around years ago and never really took off. I think they should go back to the idea of a TV tuner.
Yeah, the Game Gear had one. And right. So did the TurboGrafx Express thing.
Yeah. And you know, that Game Gear TV tuner, that is worth so much money now because it's just so useful.
The Game Gear tuner was excellent for the fact that, okay, you're in trouble. You got to go to bed. Your doors are closed. Turn down the volume. You're playing Sonic. You don't want to play games anymore, but Letterman's on.
Did you actually have one, Rob?
Not a Game Gear.
I had a portable. I had a little portable television like that you could throw in your pocket, and it's. I never really got much use out of it. I don't really see the point in the TV tuner. As long as you have, if your system has internet access, I think you're set.
Yeah, if it's got Wi-Fi, certainly at least.
I mean, like
watch Hulu.
I wasn't on RFC this week until the end because I had to work late. But I listened to the live stream all the way home on my cell phone. I really think that people want to watch video and listen to stuff on their cell phones more than a game console. I think people don't want to get, you know, cell phone stuff into their game console. They want to keep that separate.
Well, let's put people into perspective. Let's look outside our dorky box here for a second. First of all, don't give a crap. They want to use their, like, what can I do on my phone? Do I play games with it? What am I at the doctor's or something? Oh, I can watch movies. I can listen to music. You know, that's totally reasonable, Ryan. Games, no, they're gonna be like, how do I make the block fit? Stupid.
I know people play games on their phone a lot, especially if they have a BlackBerry. Brick Breaker is like the most commonly used thing on it. I mean, it's Snake for the 21st century.
Or Solitaire.
Yeah, I mean,
Arkanoid finally gets its due.
Can you play Solitaire on the BlackBerry?
I'm sure.
You may have to buy it, but I'm sure you can.
Oh, yeah, of course, in that respect.
Yeah.
Well, I might have to get one of those.
But nobody really wants to watch video on their game system because the game system is a very specific thing. You buy it to play top-tier games. I mean, look at all the PSP video discs that, you know, sold so well that they're still on clearance at Target.
They're like $5.
Oh, they're less than $5.
Jackass on my
at some point, that becomes like a good deal.
No, like, it really doesn't. I mean,
no, because it's still on the PSP.
Well, I mean, I don't know. For like $30, you buy everything they ever made.
I mean, I'm doing that with HD DVD because it's worth it. It's worth it for that because it looks nice. I can watch it, but you know. If I'm going to sit down and watch something, I want to sit down in front of a television. If I want to play a game, that's entirely different.
You know, speaking of cell phone games, you know, I got my BlackBerry and it's like the last thing that comes across my mind is playing video games. I'm like, what's on Twitter? Let's see. Let me sign in under a different name and see what I can do. Hey, let me check my Facebooks. Ooh, T-formers.
True. And you know, I mean, to Brian's point, you know, people are getting more comfortable with doing almost everything on their phone except playing games. The games that they do have on their phone are like Fruit Ninja, you know, where like you slice watermelons in half. And so on the actual gaming system, it's still like the realm of the quote unquote like real game, the fleshed out and game with depth and that actually takes your attention, that you actually have to stop and play the game.
I've seen people play Super Monkey Ball on their iPhone. So yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, just like, you know, geek intelligentsia type people. I'm talking about real people. So I mean, the iPhone is a little different than, you know, say like any generic phone or the BlackBerry, because it's specifically branded for that purpose. But if you're talking about like a BlackBerry, which is a workhorse of a phone, a specific thing, that was pretty awesome, by the way.
he likes BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Ah.
But I mean, the iPhone is branded toward that, and you know they push that. So you know they're sort of a convergence there. But in general, I just don't think people really want a game on their phone unless it's Brick Breaker, which is fantastic.
You know, it's the
best. we talked a little bit about this last week, which is that, you know, for a lot of people, the DS is a system where they do casual gaming on it. You know, that's basically what you can do on the phone because that's the amount of time you have if you're killing time between appointments or whatever,
that's
messing around your phone.
That is true. But the general reason why most people don't, unless you have an iPhone, the games suck.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, that's totally true, too. Saying that it also contributes that there's not really time in that format for an in-depth gaming.
That's true. But when people play games, they want to play good games, no matter how, no matter how in-depth the game is. Brick Breaker.
Right, I totally agree with that.
I can play Brick Breaker in 2 minutes while staying in line at the supermarket. But I totally don't want to play, I paid like $8 for Tetris on my old Samsung, whatever it was, some ancient phone.
Tetris.
I paid $7 for it, and it was crap. Total crap. Just because the system, the form factor wasn't conducive to playing games.
I wonder if you can get that football game on the cell phone.
I bet you can.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
Be great. You know, I think another reason other than the fact that the games are literally entertaining for half a second, you ever play like a platformer game on your cell phone? How bad does your hand hurt exactly a minute after you start?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You got your thumb over your thumb, and it's like, okay, I got to push, you know, and most of them have that little cross key thing, but you don't even use that. You got to push 3 and 1 and 2, and it's an inch. And, you know, I got big thumbs, so crap, I just died again, and it's wasted money. I could have bought a Shasta.
Yeah.
You and Shasta. It's like your fifth Shasta reference.
Well, you know, either that or the bacon.
You know what's my favorite?
I don't know. Bacon's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
You know, I just want to say this. Hold on, bacon. Saturday, out of boredom, I deep fried bacon.
Yes.
You are
right. And it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do that again and put it between two pieces of deep fried chicken.
Well, you guys seen the new version of the Double Down with a bun?
Wow.
That kind of defeats the point, doesn't it?
Yeah, I ain't eating the fucking thing, but still, it's like, hey, it's kind of fun. But
okay, go ahead. You're talking about games.
Yeah, you know what my the most entertaining cell phone game I've ever played aside from Brick Breaker? It was a T-Mobile game. I don't know if it's on any other network. I bought it a few years ago. It's called Ow My Balls. And that's exactly why I bought it. I was like, okay, what kind of games can I buy? I don't want to play card games. I don't want to play. And I already had like Nightmare Creatures and what at the time was acceptably fun games like Double Dragon and stuff on my phone. And I was like, Ow My Balls. Okay, what's this? So I download it because it's $2. And here it's a, you start off and you're on top of a building and there's a dude standing at the ledge of the building and you're on the other side and you had to like push the button so many times within the time frame to build up your charge. And then he goes, hi-yah! And he'd run across the front of the building and kick the guy in the nuts really hard and send him flying up the building. And depending on how many times you push your button would be what all kind of things he would fall into before you hit the ground. And that's how you get your points. And he'd like, okay, how many times can I push through on this motherfucker? Oh, he hit a bird.
I have played Flash games similar to that. There's also one that was really well known for a little while, Stair Dismount. Mm. You know, that's not an uncommon style of game. I don't think Stair Dismount really works so well on a cell phone because it's heavy 3D, but still, Ow My Balls sounds right in line with all of that.
In fact, they could probably put that out every time even for your iPhone, which is a little more intuitive to playing a game, because, I mean, you can move the thing back and forth and play a game. But, hey, it'd be like a Wii game. Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it. He's running across, kick him in the balls.
Yeah!
I broke the thing.
Damn it. I can't think of a better way to end the show than on Rob's balls.
I just want to say one more thing. While the Game Boy Advance SP is my favorite handheld ever, my second favorite, the Sega Nomad. That is all.
Nomad. Ooh, that's kind of cheating, but yes. Genesis with like a nuclear generator.
And it boils down to it because there were good games for it.
Ah, See what he did there, folks? He tied it all back to software. Very nice. So anyway, on that note, and yes, Rob's balls and Shasta.
Shasta.
I'm John DeLuna.
Rob, you need some bacon-flavored Shasta.
Bacon-flavored Shasta is like a gold mine.
You got to get the cheeky punch.
Yeah. I don't know why we're not in business right now, frankly.
Really? I wrote them for a sponsorship. They didn't even write back.
So see, like for revenge, you need to come out with like bacon flavored Shasta, just under like another name, like Dasta or something like that.
Well, you know, you can get bacon flavored syrup to add to, you know, drinks and ice cream and whatever else.
How about bacon? See where I'm going here, guys?
Yeah. Pancakes.
Straight to the store.
Bacon tastes even more like bacon.
It's like super bacon.
Whoa, it's not even the thick stuff. I bought the Aldi kind.
Bacon squared.
Okay, so on that note,
I just sneezed the bacon.
Super bacon, Rob's balls, Shasta, Dasta, and the Nomad.
Yes.
I am John DeLuna, and we will see you next week.
Ow, my balls.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, JD Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010 Radio Free Cybertron.